Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw, author of Grief, When Will This Pain Ever End? Here with my co-host, Kendi Foster, also an author, a business coach, and an amazing guy. Bottom line.
Sometimes, Paula. Not all the time.
I know, it's true. I spend sometimes. Saturday with your wife. And in studio with us today, the truly amazing Steve Olscher.
Hey, that's how I go, by the way. Whenever I introduce
truly
myself,
amazing.
That's exactly how I introduce
love
myself.
It. I must have sensed that.
Yes, truly amazing.
That's good. Well, the other part that I know about Steve is like he is the king of reinvention.
Exactly what I was going to say. The king of the Merlin of reinvention. He is famous for helping individuals and corporations get clear on what their what is. Mm. I love that. I can't wait to ask you more about that, Steve. He's also a 25-year entrepreneur. I think he was one of the first entrepreneurs.
right there with the, who were the first entrepreneurs? Probably the guys who created the wheel out of stone.
The train. I was going for the Wright brothers or the ones that created the train. Okay, you're a little bit earlier.
Yeah, right.
little more early, yeah. Then maybe Da Vinci or some of those guys.
Yeah, somewhere after that.
He was a different thinker, that's true. But also, Steve is the chairman and co-founder and founder of Liquor.com. We'll ask you about that, too.
Sweet.
An author, a New York Times best-selling author of What Is Your What? And the subtitle, Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. And he's also the author of the Business Technology Book of the Year, Internet Profits, The World's Leading Experts Reveal How to Profit Online. I know a lot of people want to get that one. So, and Steve's a media guest on CNN, Huffington Post, and of course, right here on Transition Radio.
Yay.
So welcome, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
I love this idea of reinvention. Mm-hmm. You know, I think so many people have reinvented themselves. Companies are reinventing themselves, we're reading now. So it's a critical part of life because it involves change, right? And change is happening whether we like it or not. We have a weird relationship with change as human beings because without it, we get bored to death. But it also brings the discomfort of the unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always dealing with that. And I know, Ken, we were talking just last night about companies.
We were. You know, I want to just say this for people that are just tuning into this show today. You know, if you're really serious about transformation, you're really serious about reinventing yourself, you know, we're not talking about just improving a few things or making things a little bit better. We're going to be talking on this show about how to reset your thinking, reset your life, and we're going to be talking about being able to show up in a way that maybe you've never shown up before. So if that interests you, that's why we brought the king of reinvention on this show, because he's going to talk about what's happening in the media, what's happening in all areas of reinvention. So if that tweaks your interest, stay tuned.
The world seems to be reinventing itself, right? I mean, companies, just last night we were talking about big companies are reinventing themselves. And that, I think, probably has its negatives and its positives. And Steve, I'd like to ask you a lot more about that too, because what we were talking about is that when reinvention happens, something has to be lost before something new is created, right?
Mm-hmm.
And loss creates discomfort and grief. You know, people don't always think about that, but of course, you know, that's part of my bailiwick, grief.
Yeah, well, let me offer this to you, which is, In my way of thinking, at least on a personal level, we can talk about companies and things from a corporate perspective, but on a personal level, I would actually use a different definition of what reinvention really is. In my way of thinking, reinvention has nothing to do with changing anything, actually, about who you are. It's really more, in my way of thinking, about shedding the shackles of the, if you will, outfits and personalities and whims and agendas that others have thrown onto our shoulders over the course of however long we've been alive, and really just getting back to the essence of who we truly are. So to me, it's more of a shedding and a dismantling of everything that's been just kind of piled on to you over the years, and just getting back more again to who you truly are.
I love that. You know, I love about that is that I believe we're all born little geniuses.
For sure.
We're bright little stars that come into this world as souls. And, you know, and like you said, we're covered up with a lot of issues and challenges and problems, you know, and we're out.
Expectations,
all that stuff.
I like to call it the shoulds. And just yesterday, I was working with a group, and I said a line I'm famous for: "Stop shoulding on yourself."
Yeah,
right. Because they give us so many shoulds, and we take them on. We just blindly go, "Oh, okay." And yesterday, there was one woman in the group that was 60, another person in her 40s, somebody else in their probably 60s, and they were all saying, "I'm tired of doing what everybody tells me I should do."
Oh, well, then there you go. So now that you turn the light switch on, make a different choice.
Exactly.
You know, because, I mean, reality is that's really all it takes. It just takes, you know, are you familiar with the Dr. Thomas Gordon's four stages of learning?
Yeah,
are you familiar with that, Ken? Maybe you're familiar
I'm
with that.
So it's not. Go ahead.
So it's the conscious competence learning stages model. And maybe when we talk about this in other terms, it'll sound more familiar to you. But stage one is what's known as unconscious incompetence, which is basically you're in the dark. I mean, you have no clue about what happens to you, why it happens to you, and so on. And so literally, it's your blind spots, it's your BS, it's whatever it is that prevents you from really gaining clarity and taking and being proactive, I think is the best way to put it. It's in that reactionary stage of life where things happen to you and you don't really know why. So it sounds like a lot of these women perhaps maybe we're in that stage of unconscious incompetence where things were happening in their way of thinking to them, and they were out of control insofar as just life in general. And really, once you flip that light switch on and you go to stage two of that conscious competence learning stages model, which is where now you have what's known as conscious incompetence, where you are at least are familiar with the fact that you lack clarity or you lack competence in a particular area, but now at least because the light switch is on, you can make a conscious choice about what to do with that stimuli and decide, am I going to go in this direction or that direction? But at least you are now in control.
That's really good. You know, one of the questions I like ask to help people ask is, what are you tolerating, right? What are you putting up with or tolerating in your world, whether it's in business or your personal life?
Yeah.
You're tolerating not having the right income or not being profitable in business, or partners that are challenging you, or relationships that are challenged, or the same thing in your personal life. What are you showing up? You know, are you tolerating clutter in your life? Are you tolerating not exercising? Are you tolerating just a mediocre life, you know? And that all comes, that's the question we ask so that we raise the consciousness to the part of, what did you just say?
Of at least awareness, anyway.
At least awareness.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you've got mastery. It just means you're now aware of the deficiencies or the stimuli that drive you.
Yeah.
So is the first stage that you're talking about, is that sort of like you don't know what you don't know?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, that's what I was saying. If I threw it out there, different phrases and terminologies that people use to describe what that is.
So now the second stage, you know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What's the third stage?
So the third stage is what is known as conscious competence, which basically means you can achieve your desired results, but you have to think about your process. So it's like, think about it in terms of trying to master another language. I know for me, when I'm reading a book in a language that I'm trying to learn, I have to really dismantle what I'm reading to translate it back into something that I can understand. So I look at the words, I look at the sentence, I look at the paragraph, and then I just back it all up into, okay, this is what it's saying, so I can do it. But literally by the time you get to the end of that paragraph, let alone the end of the page, let alone the end of the chapter, you're exhausted because it takes all of that conscious thought and conscious effort. And then the last stages, I'm sure you can imagine, is what they call unconscious competence, which are the things that come to, basically they come as naturally to us as breathing. It's just like sitting here. I mean, we don't think about it. Mm-hmm. It just
like
happens.
Brushing your teeth.
Like brushing your teeth.
Yeah, right. It just happens.
Yep.
I love that. I love that. So you are known, Steve, for helping people and corporations discover their what. And what I really loved about that is it's the what they're uniquely here to do, right?
Yeah.
What their purpose is. Do you use those four stages in helping people discover their what, or is that part of the process?
It's certainly a discovery process to help people really understand it. So in my book, What Is Your What?, I take people through various exercises that play on to Dr. Thomas Gordon's four stages of learning, conscious competence, learning stages model. Mm-hmm. But reality is that's more just to kind of bring to the surface the subconscious issues that either work to our benefit or work to our detriment. And so once you really understand what works to your detriment, you can really begin gaining more clarity and awareness around that. And then conversely, in terms of what works to your benefit, same thing, so that you can begin focusing really on how you're more naturally wired to excel than anything else. And then we then shift into specifically identifying what your what is.
So let me ask you this. Somebody's out there and they become aware of an issue in their life and they want to reinvent themselves. They want to change whatever's going on in their life. What stops most people from doing that? I mean, I think a lot of people like set New Year's goals and they say, okay, we're going to change. And then,
sure.
You know, 3 days later, they're off doing their same thing. And we realize it's subconscious mind, but how do you overcome that?
Yeah. So reality is I think most people are inherently lazy. And I mean that with all due respect, because I'm as lazy as they come. But lazy is not, in my way of thinking, necessarily a derogatory term. It just means that we do what comes most naturally to us. And why try to do something else? So
right.
If you're not a jogger, but you like to swim, then why would you jog? It's like, it's just one of those things where you look at it and you go, that's not a choice that I want to be making, right?
Yeah.
And so reality is, it's just in my way of thinking, Ken, it's a matter of finding something that is easy for them to achieve whatever that desired result is.
So it's that piece of finding what inspires you, what maybe trips your trigger to get out there instead of doing what I heard you say is what other people tell you you should do or shouldn't do. And that goes back to your shoulds, Paula.
Yeah. I mean, like money is a really good place to start, right? In terms of people are like, okay, New Year's resolution this year, I'm going to make more money. I'm going to keep more money. I'm going to save more money, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all well and good. But the real question then is, of course, how, right? How are you going to make more money? And if after 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you're not making any more than you were making last year, then you're probably going to get discouraged. And that's when you're going to go back and fall into that, well, maybe next year type of trap, like the Cubs did up until this past year. and then it became the year. They turned it around.
Men in baseball,
so,
you can't separate them.
So I think really in my way of thinking then, the question is, what is the easiest path to get you to that goal or to that objective,
yes.
Something that provides the least amount of resistance. And for example, in terms of money, what can you do? What can you sell? What can you offer to the world? How can you provide value to others in a way that can get you compensated at your desired level of compensation, but ultimately do something in a way where it comes naturally to you. So if I'm trying to sell you something that there's integrity, right? And when we're out of integrity, you know how hard it is to do anything.
Right.
And then there's desire. And if you lack integrity or you lack desire, if you lack one or the other, you're not going to get to your desired result. So if you're trying to sell something you don't believe in, you're not going to be selling that product.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's really a matter of if you wanted to make more money, find something you believe in and sell that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think of integrity, I think it's a word that's used a lot. And I think that a lot of people don't really define it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an easy way to define it is what's most important to me, right? Mm-hmm. What do I value most in this world? And I think that if we're not, like you said, if you're not aligned with what's most important to you, I know a lot of people out there that I've coached over the years that really they're out there helping a lot of people. They're doing a lot of things, but they don't take care of themselves.
That is such a huge topic. And I think we want to get into it in our next segment, because that's when we can roll with a little bit. Because I agree, we're all terrible at taking care of ourselves.
Well, that's great. So coming up in our next segments, by the way, we're going to talk about the questions to change your life. We're going to be talking about the alternative way. We're going to be discussing unconventional ways to revolutionize what the way you think. And our final segment, we're going to tell you how to get what you want, the success habits that really work.
We'll be right back.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your host, Kendi Foster and Paula Shaw.
Well, welcome back to Transition Radio. I'm Ken Foster, and this is my host, Paula Shaw. We're here with our guest today, Steve Ulsher. And Steve is talking about how to reinvent yourself in many different ways. I think we left off talking about integrity and what defines integrity and how does that tie into reinventing ourselves and changing ourselves. So, Steve, you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I do think that it's important for us to at least let's broach the subject of what the what is your what framework is, so that people can have a better understanding of how they might be able to apply this to their lives.
Right. And what is your what framework? That's the book that you wrote that was New York Times bestseller, right?
Right. So what is your what? Discover the one amazing thing you were born to do. And certainly as you go through the book, it will help you get two answers. And that's really why I wrote the book, because more than those modalities like the Myers-Briggs and the what colors your parachutes and so on. I mean, they're all really good. They do what they do, but they leave most people with more questions than answers. And how do you start? How do you hit the ground running?
Yeah.
And so I created this What Is Your What framework to really help people get to those answers faster so they could start with something even as soon as the night of getting to the bottom of what their answers are. So so just briefly here, the What Is Your What framework is comprised of three specific parts. One is your core gift. So I believe that each of us has a core gift. Now, that could be teaching, it could be protecting, it could be enrolling, it could be entertaining, it could be healing, you know, something of that, communicating, whatever it might be for you. We each have a core gift. The second part of the framework then is the vehicle. So what is the vehicle that you will use to share that gift with the world? So if you have your core gift, let's say, is healing, and this is what you discover as you go through the process, then maybe your vehicle, your primary vehicle, would be something like nursing. So that would be an example of how you share that gift. But I think the third part of the framework really brings things together and kind of ties it all together for most people, which are the people. And the question then becomes, who are the people that you're most compelled to serve? And so if you think about it in in terms of my gift, again, maybe that's healing. The vehicle, in this case, maybe it's nursing. And then the people that you're most compelled to serve, that can be, for instance, there was a woman who took the Reinvention Workshop, which is a course that I've been teaching off and on since 2009. She was a healer. Her vehicle was nursing, but something felt off to her. She didn't know what it was when she came to the Reinvention Workshop. And so what was off for her were the people. So she wasn't working with the people that she was most compelled to serve. She was working in a general hospital. As things turned out, she's actually most compelled to serve the disadvantaged elderly. And now she's working in a VA hospital, and it's really made all the difference for her.
Oh, I can imagine.
Those are the three pieces.
That would be huge. It's sort of like Mother Teresa. You know, I mean, we all know what she did. But obviously, she was compelled to serve that population of children in the streets of India, and it made her who she was.
You know, the interesting thing about Mother Teresa is what everything was lined up. The gift was aligned up with the vehicle and the service all in one. I've come across a lot of individuals that the vehicle is now outdated. And so they've grown. They've found out what their gifts are. They're brilliant at whatever. And they know the population they want to serve, but they're stuck in the vehicle.
Sure.
Like for instance, now the nurse has decided, I want to be a teacher. I want to touch a lot more people. Mm-hmm. Now, how do I get out of nursing? In fact, I happen to have somebody that I'm working with just like that mm-hmm. right now.
Oh,
isn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
And maybe she doesn't have to necessarily, well, let's put it to you this way. I believe that the gift is, it's in your DNA. It really is. I mean, it's going to be with you for your entire life. You can spend a lifetime in denial about what that gift is, but yeah. I don't believe that the gift changes. I do believe the vehicle that you use to share that gift and the people that you're most compelled to serve, I believe that those are more organic. Mm-hmm. Those change over time. So perhaps your client then, who is a healer, right? I mean, because you said she was a, what did you say she was doing now?
She's a nurse right now.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, she's a nurse right now.
I just happen to be working with one.
And so she wants to potentially serve more people.
Correct.
So then I would then say, hey, Ken, if you're working with this client, shift over to the people, right? So then who are the people that she's most compelled to serve? And then you could back into the vehicle. And certainly with the way that things are now in terms of being able to reach more people, in ways that we never possibly could before. I mean, the average person sitting in their basement can now literally reach millions of people with the push of a button.
Right.
So how do we create something for her that is scalable? Mm-hmm. And really that requires her to get out of that one-on-one work and into something that can help more people, still leveraging her talents, but again, is more scalable. And that would be then the question of what does she create? What is that vehicle? But certainly would have to be scalable.
Hmm. You know, this might be a great moment for you to give our listeners information about how they can get a free copy of that book.
Well, thank you for that. Of course. Sure. Yeah. And we do give away the book for free, which you can get. And then we're talking about What Is Your What? Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. So you can get that at whatisyourwhat.com/free. And we do give away free copies of that book. So whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Perfect.
Thank you for that.
Oh, of
That's
course.
Great.
And this whole concept you were just discussing really brings to mind something we were talking about earlier. There is so much that's changed in media now.
Yeah.
In the old days, it was TV and radio pretty much, right?
Yeah, TV, radio, print, sure.
Yeah, print, right, magazines. What is the new media about, Steve?
Yeah, and of course, we are on a terrestrial radio station right now, albeit we are simulcasting, right? We're doing this through Twitter live, right?
Live, so we're combining and the soon to be podcasting
right?
And, on 10 other radio stations, terrestrial stations. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's really where the future lies, is not necessarily, shall we say, pushing to the side old media, but we have to be aware of the fact that when trends are in our face, we have to embrace those trends. And mm-hmm. we can put our head in the sand and try to ignore what's going on here. But reality is we are absolutely shifting and have, for the most part, shifted in terms of moving from push media, which is like this is a broadcast channel.
Mm-hmm.
You're flipping through the dial. You land on this channel and, oh, maybe I'll listen to what's on. Now, I don't have any choice about what's on.
Right.
I have a choice about whether or not I change the dial and go to a different station, but I don't have any choice about the programming. So that's push media. Same thing with television. Same thing with the newspaper. You open up page 6 of the newspaper. Whatever's on that page is what you're going to read. You didn't create that page. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have shifted now and are shifting. I mean, we're still on the bell curve, sort of in that early adopter. If we're looking at the bell curve and we're still bell curve, we're still in the first, in my way of thinking, about 15% of the population that readily and consistently turns to new media as their primary source of information, entertainment, education.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still very much in the embryonic stages. But the pull media revolution is certainly here. You can see it on television, right? With Hulu, with Netflix, with even Amazon has their own, you know, Prime. I mean, so you can see it, and that basically means people get what they want when they want it on their selected device. And this revolution really is something that we need to, as business owners, as individuals, as you know, spiritual leaders, whatever. I mean, we have to be aware of this shift.
You know, I think that's a really interesting shift, because we're talking about reinventing yourself, and, you know, the media that we're sitting here is reinventing itself every single day. And you said something about getting what you want, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering about our listeners. I'm thinking about my own life. You know, am I getting what I want? Because that's really what's offered right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what people are switching to. But now, getting what you want has to have some focus to it. Otherwise, you're scattered like the old print media, right?
Sure.
You're just like looking, oh, I want this, I want that, I want that. And you end up with nothing.
Yeah.
So how do you address that?
Yeah. And so I think there's two ways to look at it, Ken, in terms of getting what it is that you want. One, of course, is being aware of your options. Again, it kind of goes back to that four stages of learning, right? I mean, this is if you're just sort of in that first stage where it's in this world of unconscious incompetence, you just turn on the dial and anything that hits you. You have no control over it. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. It's kind of the same thing when you come right down to it. So I really do think the first stage, if you will, is awareness. I mean, you've got to become aware of what the options are for you in terms of who the people are that you want to tune into. What is the new media platform that you will turn to? I mean, it could be podcasting. Maybe that's where you go to get your information, education, entertainment. It could be video. It could be social media. I mean, there are a number of different options. So certainly when you look at where is that coming from, you've got to make a conscious choice about where you decide to focus your pull efforts. And then really, the beautiful thing about the new media landscape is you can find the people that you want to connect with through the beauty of search. And whether it's iTunes or YouTube or Google, et cetera, you type in what it is that you want. You find your people. You give it a test ride. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you go to somebody else. But I do think it's a matter of understanding what your options are, both in terms of the new media platforms and in terms of the people.
So, Steve, you have an event coming up called the New Media Summit.
True.
In September. Yep. What's the date of that, Ian?
So the New Media Summit is taking place in San Diego, and that is September 22nd through the 24th, and we're doing it in Mission Bay.
And will this event be for people who want to just learn more about new media, or is it for people who are thinking this could be their what,
yeah,
and they want to figure out how?
Yeah, so there's two sides of the coin there. The first side is we're going to teach people how to really leverage and monetize the power of this whole new media world. But the biggest reason why most people will come, and it's a smaller event, 150 attendees, but the main reason why most people will come is because we're bringing 40, as we're calling them, icons of influence to the table who have high visibility platforms, such as podcasts, and the attendees will have a chance to meet with them one-on-one, tell them about who they are, what they do, and why they would be a great fit for their show, and actually leave the event with bookings in hand.
In fact, yours truly will be here.
And Mr. Ken Foster will be there as well. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I believe Paul is going to be there too.
Sweet.
So, we're there to support you in that.
So. Awesome.
We would love to. I mean, what a great win-win. Because we'll meet some interesting, wonderful people to bring on to our show. And you create opportunities for them. It's a beautiful
event. Yep.
So in September, the 22nd
through the 24th, and it's newmediasummit.net. Not .com. So it's newmediasummit.net for more information on that.
Great.
That's great. And coming up next, we've got the alternative way, new ways media is impacting our life. We started to touch on that. And how to participate in the ever-expanding media. Also, we have how to get what you want, the success habits that really work. We'll be right back.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your host, Kendi Foster and Paula Shaw.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw, here with my co-host, Kendi Foster. And our guest this evening, Steve Olscher, the Merlin of reinvention.
I like that too. All right.
I know. I want you to use that somewhere. So we have talked about reinventing yourself, how to find your what, and ways that the model for doing that, Steve gave us a website for a free book. And if you missed that, we'll have him give that address again in just a moment. But we were just talking about the new media. Like, things have really revolutionized. And talk about reinvention. Media has reinvented itself. And there's so many more possibilities. You know, I have to tell you a quick story. I remember when I was a kid going to Disneyland, and there was an attraction there called the GE Carousel of Progress. I don't know if you remember.
Sure, I remember.
It's
that.
A great big beautiful tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was and you'd spin. I remember the segment where the woman would say, "And our television is going to record programming for viewing at a more convenient time."
Mm.
And I remember thinking, wow, wouldn't that be cool that I'd never have to miss my show?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And here we are. Mm-hmm. Here we are talking about everything being available to us at a more convenient time.
Yeah.
And just the genres that we care to get information from. So let's talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, on the break there, Ken, you were asking just let's talk about new media in terms of what it is, right?
Where is new media taking us? And also, well, before we go there, because what is new media? A lot of our listeners don't know. I'm just learning. I want to learn from you. So what is new media, really? What does that mean to you? And what are some of the vehicles that are out there right now?
Yeah, so again, just to define old media, we were talking about this earlier, TV, radio, print. Those would be in the old media category. So just so we're clear on that. So new media to me is audio, both live and recorded. So an example of live audio would be something like you could do Blog Talk Radio, you could do WS Radio, you could do Zcast, those sort of things on the new media platforms. Then, of course, you have recorded audio, which would be like podcasts, right? I mean, podcasts would be a perfect example of recorded audio. You then have video. And so video also falls into live and recorded. So examples of live video would be Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Periscope, Twitter Live, and so on. And then, of course, recorded video would be the YouTubes of the world, the Wistias, the Vimeos, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
The third primary platform for new media would be social media. And of course, you know the usual suspects that run the social media realm there.
Yeah.
The fourth would be blogging. And that can be the written word, or that can be video blogging or vlogging.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last would be mobile, so specifically apps. So audio, video, both recorded and live, social media, blogging, and mobile. So those would be the five primary new media platforms.
That's great. You know, we have a lot of business owners, Paula, that listen to our show. How do they apply these things? What do they do to make it work for them right now? There's so you just listed a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Do people try to put it on all of them if they want to get their message out?
How do you sort through and know where to begin?
Yeah, and a lot of people will tell you, well, we'll start with where your customers gather. And I would actually say do it the other way around, which is what medium are you more comfortable with? Mm-hmm. Because let's just be honest here. You know, as a woman, a lot of women are not comfortable doing video unless they're made up and, you know, they have the right outfit on and their hair and their makeup, right? And this, that. So it's like it's an effort, right?
Right.
And you don't want this to be something where it feels like it's burdensome to you. I mean, you want it just to do it. So maybe video's not what you want to be focusing on. So maybe in that case, audio, right? So podcasting might make more sense for you. So I would say, Ken, that, you know, reality is let's pick a platform first, a primary new media platform. And then what is that going to be in terms of the format? So once you understand what the platform is, what is the format? Like, you guys are obviously doing audio. You have a co-host type situation where you bring in guests. One could argue that this is either an interview type format or a co-host type format, or potentially even a morning zoo type format.
All right.
If you consistently have more than a couple of people who are on your show. So understand the primary platform and then understand what the broadcast format is that you're going to be focusing on. And again, same thing applies for social media, for blogging, and of course for apps as well.
You know, safety comes to mind when I think of all the new media, putting yourself out there. We hear a lot of war stories of, you know, especially with our children who've been stalked on some of the social media sites. What's your thoughts on that? How do we protect ourselves from those kind of things in this broadcast media mania?
Yeah. Right. And it's a great question, because there is, of course, the way to leverage these tools for business. And then there's the reality of our personal lives, and our personal lives, if we're parents, grandparents, et cetera. I mean, this includes those who we love, right? And those in our family. So as parents, I do think that we have a responsibility to be very clear with our children on how to leverage the power of this technology, because it is, let's face it, we did not have the scariest thing growing up in the 60s or 70s was a van driving by and trying to pull you in. You know, I mean, like that was scary. You know, you see that slow driving car and you're like, everybody inside, you know, it's like, that's
run,
right? Run.
Don't take candy.
No candy.
Like, that's what we had to deal
don't
with.
Pet puppies.
I love puppies. So, you know, and so now we don't have the same sort of controls. I mean, we can't just look out our front porch and see who's trying to talk to our children. Online, it could be anyone, literally from anywhere.
Right.
And even if they say they are someone, you don't even know if they are, in fact, that person who they say that they are. Mm-hmm. So it's a scary, scary place. And so reality is, no matter what you put in place, I really do think it starts with setting up very specific boundaries and very specific guidelines and monitoring what those activities are as best you can. And frankly, if your children don't honor what those boundaries are, you take away the device. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, because education is critical, right? We can't be with them every minute. We can't protect them from everything. But educating them, not scaring them, I think it's important, because I remember times when they scared us to death about trick-or-treating, you know, don't take this, no apples, they have razor blades in them, you know, all that terrible stuff.
Oh, yeah, and razor blades in the apples. I remember that.
I always felt like such a loser because I never got an apple or a candy bar with a razor blade in it.
Well,
never.
They would always find the one apple in the United States that had a razor blade
on it. And that one went on the front page.
That went on the front page. Okay.
But that fine line between scaring and educating, I think, is really important. Mm-hmm. Really important.
Yeah, and reality is you can educate till the cows come home, but it really just boils down to trust.
Yes.
And if you can't trust your child without a device, how are you going to trust your child with a device? Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, that's how I think you got to look at the, that's really, for me, that's the barometer of how liberal you are with their usage of these new technologies. Is if you can trust them without a device, you can probably trust them with a device.
You know, just for a minute, getting back to the new media that we were discussing, one of the things I think is so great, there was a time when if a major publisher didn't pick you up, if you didn't have an agent and you didn't have a publisher, your book was never going to see the light of day.
Yeah.
Now, because of Amazon, that isn't true anymore. Anybody really can self-publish a book. And what I love about what you're saying about the new media is if ABC, NBC, CBS, or you know how it used to be, don't pick up your show idea, that still doesn't mean, or a major radio station, doesn't mean you can't get your message out to the world. There's so much open to everybody now.
Yeah, it actually is the other, it's almost the complete opposite now. Mm-hmm. Because before, you needed a best-selling book, or you needed to be a keynote speaker, those sort of things.
Yeah.
To be featured on CBS or NBC or ABC or Fox or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Now, you create your own platform. And through the power of that platform, you create your own visibility. And interestingly enough, when you create your own visibility, then the networks come knocking. Then the book publishers come knocking.
Yes.
I mean, there have been a couple of scenarios here. Maybe, Ken, you're thinking about this yourself. But, you know, there have been a couple of scenarios and situations and really incredible examples recently of first-time authors who have nothing more than a really popular podcast getting mid-six-figure book deals. And that's absolutely unheard of a few short years ago.
Exactly. I remember I wrote my first book in 2003. And we did an Amazon campaign back there, became a bestseller overall. Mm-hmm. And Simon & Schuster, sure enough, that next day, Simon & Schuster called me.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's that thing.
Yeah.
So
and of course, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because with that sort of freedom of being able to publish and freedom of being able to create your own platform, being able to create your own show, of course, you then run the risk of having really crappy content. And that happens.
Yes, right.
I mean, there are really bad books that get published because they're vanity press, self-published, just like there's really bad shows that end up as podcasts and so on. And so once you eliminate the gatekeeper, it can be a scary proposition.
It's a good point. It's a good point. But I think there's some really terrible reality shows on major TV stations. So
I would say about 90% in my business, in my book. But that's me. You know, I'm not a big fan of those. So.
You know, in my past incarnation, I was in the film business. Mm. And my husband was a producer of a show called Barney Miller. And I remember one night, it was during the writer's strike. A bunch of us were having dinner together. And we're talking about, well, the town was shut down because of the writer's strike. And somebody said, have you guys heard about this idea that that these reality shows where they don't have writers right. or actors or real, yeah. you know, real entertainers.
Daniel Mark Burnett.
And we were all like, yeah. oh, that'll never fly.
Right. Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
We are. It's sure. a whole new age.
The new media
Everything
is taking
seems
over
to be
in so many ways.
Reinventing itself.
Yeah.
You know what I loved about what we're talking about here, though, is that you can really take full responsibility for your life. You can really take full responsibility for what you want to create. And you can mm-hmm. put it out there in the world in a different way. It's a much more abundant place we live than we've ever lived before. It's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Last and word, and last word is dun, 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 it. Dun, 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 dun. Best theme song like ever. Wow. I mean, how can you not remember the Barney Miller theme song? That's awesome. Best either that or Sanford. Well, yeah, that's what I know. My voice is bad, but that it's a Sanford, like Sanford and Son or Barney Miller. Like those were the two.
Yes, yes.
That's well, listen, coming up next in our next segment, you don't want to miss this. It's a success. Habits that will really change your life. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your host, Kendi Foster and Paula Shaw.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw here with my co-host, Kendi Foster, and our amazing guest this evening, the Merlin of Transformation and Reinvention, Steve Ulscher. Your image is growing.
I know. Just keep adding to it. Yeah, I love the moniker is going to be like a mile long by the time we get out of here.
Until the end of the day, you've got all kinds of new careers, Steve. You know what I just remembered? In the last segment, I promised everybody that you would give that information again about how to get your free book. Would you do that?
I'm happy to do it. Sure. So What Is Your What? That is the book. And okay. Folks can grab that at whatisyourwhat.com/free. So whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Thank you. Now I've kept my promise.
All right. So we're going to be talking now about some success habits. And I'm dying to ask Steve, what are the most powerful success habits that he's put in place to generate the amazing life? And, you know, he's got health, vitality, a great family life. He's got, he lives in the most beautiful city in the world. He's got abundance of wealth. And he's putting on a workshop. I want to talk to people about that again mm-hmm. before the end of the show. So tell us about this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just talking to a friend this morning about what the difference is in my way of thinking between those who really create lives that are extraordinary versus those who struggle, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think we all have our struggles. We all have our trials or tribulations, but when you get to the point of having enough victories lined up, I think you can create a life for yourself that, frankly, is it can move beyond the scope of whatever you thought was even possible for you. Mm-hmm. Certainly, if you look back in terms of what it was that you wanted for yourself as a child, most of us now, I mean, we really do have the ability to create some pretty amazing lives. And so I love where we are right now in terms of what's available to us, as we've been talking about with New Media and being able to reach people with your mission and message at the push of a button. It's an extraordinary time that we're living in right now. But I do really think it ultimately boils down to having, of course, clarity on what your what is and being willing to do whatever it takes to bring that to fruition. Mm-hmm. But I also do think that one of the success habits that has helped me in my career is really being clear on what I call your yay-no moments. And so
your yay-no moments.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so what's a yay-no moment? So a yay-no is just a fancy way of really saying yes-no, mm-hmm. right? But it's really that moment of truth that we all face when we have an opportunity to go in one direction that leads us towards whatever that goal or objective is, or in a direction that moves us away from that. And so the idea is to stack up as many positive steps that leads you towards that goal, that objective as you can. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to take steps backwards, but to get back on path and continue until you reach whatever that point is. And so you have yay-no moments every single day of your life. I mean, mm-hmm. a yay-no moment is something obvious, like when somebody calls you on the phone it's like you have a yay no moment at that point. Do you pick up the phone and talk to that person for an hour on end or whatever it might be? Or do you let it go to voicemail and then let them, you know, talk it out through voicemail and you hit them back with a 2 second, you know, response. But that's a yay no moment. And of course, there are other obvious moments. There are moments that are not so obvious, like how you breathe, how you sit in your chair, how you set your intention, which I know, Paula, you did for us before this show. Mm-hmm. But just be really aware of when you're faced with that moment of truth. And you make a decision that can have long-term ramifications on your personal growth, on your business growth, et cetera.
You know, I believe that we have to have a really strong intention and purpose for that intention. So when those yay, no moments arrive, we're moving in that direction of our dreams. I personally am training right now to do a triathlon, a world triathlon event up in Penticton, British Columbia this year, representing the U.S. in my age group. And I have to say that there are a lot of yay no moments.
For
you
sure.
Get up at 5 in the morning, you got to go
That's
for
a yay
swim.
No moment right
That's
there.
A yay no
yeah.
moment right there, right?
Yes, I will go back to the training, or no, I'll go back to bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's the purpose, really. It's when I tune into that purpose, why am I doing this, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, is that what makes the difference? Because, you know, as you've been sharing today, Steve, I find myself thinking about so many people I've either worked with or that I know that have a dream, that have a really good idea, something they would like to, a message they'd like to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen them do it.
Yeah.
Right? So what is that? Is that confidence? Is that purpose? Is it
courage.
Discipline?
Right.
What is it?
Yeah, I think it boils down to a couple of different things. Number one, here's a mantra that I like to keep in mind, mm-hmm. and maybe this will be useful for you as well, which is your what always has to be bigger than your butt, right?
Oh, I love that.
Say your, that
but,
again.
So your what always has to be bigger than your butt, right? I mean, but we're not talking about,
what
of course,
if I
your
have a big butt,
right? Right?
What
yeah,
the heck?
That kind of butt, not that, that
oh,
not
that, that
yeah,
other
the
kind
other
butt.
The other kind
okay.
of butt,
yeah.
You know.
I think we're talking BUT, not BUT.
That's
yes.
right. Oh, I got that.
Yeah, and so it's the 5 a.m. thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
is that goal of yours bigger than the excuses mm-hmm. and bigger than the alternatives
yeah.
that might be easier? And of course, for most of us, it's a lot easier to go back to sleep at 5 a.m. than it would be to go and do that 20-mile run or that 50-mile bike or whatever, you yeah. know, a 2-mile swim. It's a lot easier. So your what always has to be bigger than mm-hmm. your butt. Your excuse is the things that we put in our own ways, in our own way, the obstacles, et cetera. And so the other thing is just keep in mind that I don't think there is any such thing as failure. And I do think that that has helped me throughout my career. I just believe that failure is success with an unintended ending. So it just didn't go exactly
mm-hmm.
as you planned,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean that it was a failure by any stretch of the imagination.
Especially if you grew from it, right? And learned something important.
Yeah, and I do think we learn from everything that goes on in our lives. But also I know that there are so many people who are crippled by fear. Right, of what is going to happen. And reality is things never go as good as you think they might
mm-hmm.
or as poorly as you mm-hmm. you know, you think that it's possible for things to go. It's always going to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
This is kind of a techie question, but I think it'd be important for us to share with our listeners, if you have a dream of doing a podcast or doing a video streaming,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to spend a lot of money on equipment, do you, Steve?
No, you have all the equipment you need right now. The reality is you have a phone. You are probably connected to the internet,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's at work or whether it's at home. You have a connection somewhere. So the beautiful thing about it is, no, you don't need fancy technology. Really, all you need is a mouth, which... most of us have.
Which works.
A message,
mm-hmm.
which almost all of us have, and a microphone. And
the
so
three M's.
The three M's,
again.
Right? The mouth, the message, the microphone. Doesn't have to be any fancy kind of mic. Doesn't have to be one of these studio type mics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your telephone literally is a microphone.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why you can't use that.
And one more time, would you give us the information about your new media event?
Yeah, so New Media Summit in San Diego, September 22nd through the 24th. You can get more information at newmediasummit.net. But what might be even more helpful for folks is we have a directory of influencers, which contains contact information for 240 podcasters, bloggers, social media stars, et cetera, people who can literally make them famous with the push of a button. Mm-hmm. Detailed contact info, we give that away for free. Maybe they can get some more visibility if they contact some of those folks. So they can grab a copy of that at myultimatedirectory.com. So they can get a free copy of that directory at myultimatedirectory.com.
Myultimatedirectory.com. That sounds fabulous.
What and I just want to say this to the entrepreneurs listening right now. Steve's on our show. We're going out to hundreds of thousands of individuals right now. If you're listening and this is you, imagine your show going out to hundreds of thousands of people.
Exactly.
You know, on a weekly basis. What would that do for your business? And Steve is actually bringing in the guests that are taking individuals, entrepreneurs, and getting them on to shows that, like you said, have millions of listeners out there, hundreds of thousands like us.
Absolutely. Yep. And the New Media Summit is going to give them access to those people. We're so excited about being one of those resources.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And just to think, a month ago, we didn't even know you. That's the new media thing. Really, when you think about it, the connections that are possible now are incredible.
They are.
Incredible.
It is. Well, that's it. We're going to wrap this up. I want to talk to everybody about next week. Next week, we have an amazing show. We're going to be talking all about living stress-free. How would that be for you if you really let go of the negative stress that's in your life right now? Do you think you might make better choices, feel a little better, be a little happier? We're going to tell you how to do that next week.
And the amazing impact stress has on us physically. I don't know if people actually think about that so much. It's more than sleeplessness and anxiety, you know, so we'll get into all of that.
We're going to get into it. I'm just thinking about the American Medical Association came out with a study, AMA, this is at 80%, I believe, or plus, all disease is caused from stress. So we're going to talk about that and a lot more. This is a show you do not want to miss.
And we will see you next week on Transition Radio. Thanks for being with us.